From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Mary Dempsey reports at Columbia Green Media that Hudson's Promenade Hill Park is set to officially open on October 25th, 17 months after construction began and 9 months later than originally planned. Mayor Kamal Johnson said on October 18th, and I quote, "All of the work at the park will be finished at the end of the week," end quote. The construction project will wind down this week with National Grid on site to install the lighting and other finishing touches. The park refurbishment project includes a redesigned lower plaza and upgrades to the playground area. The lower portion of the park has been redeveloped and includes an Americans with Disabilities Act compliant walkway to the upper promenade. A spray shower was added to the park. The lower portion of the park and the playground have been closed since the construction began last year. The park project was first budgeted at $1.1 million, but that number quickly increased after the lowest construction bid submitted was $585,500 over budget. The funds for the park came from the city's $10 million State Downtown Revitalization Initiative grant, along with private contributions from the H. Van Amergen Foundation and the Colarusso family. The park's redevelopment was necessitated by a 2019 settlement the city reached with the U.S. Department of Justice over updating some of the city's infrastructure to bring it into compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that French cement producer Lafarge has pleaded guilty in federal court to supporting Islamic terrorist groups. Lafarge maintains a plant in Ravenna. The company is a global buildings material manufacturer headquartered in France, and Lafarge Cement Syria, a Lafarge subsidiary, pleaded guilty on October 18th to providing support and resources to the Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham, or ISIS, as well as al-Nusra Front, both U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organizations. Immediately following the guilty pleas, U.S. District Judge William F. Kuntz II sentenced the defendants to terms of probation and to pay financial penalties, including criminal fines of $90.78 million and forfeiture of $687 million, totaling $777.78 million. The charges arose out of Lafarge executives' scheme to pay terrorists in exchange for permission to operate a cement plant in Syria from August 2013 to August 2014, which enabled Lafarge to gain approximately $70.30 million in revenue. Breon Peace, U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, said, and I quote, "In the midst of a civil war, Lafarge made the unthinkable choice to put money into the hands of ISIS, one of the world's most barbaric terrorist organizations, so that it could continue selling cement. Today, Lafarge has admitted and taken responsibility for its staggering crime. Never before has a corporation been charged with providing material support and resources to foreign terrorist organizations," end quote. The Justice Department charged Lafarge executives intentionally structured their agreements with ISIS to compensate the organization based on the amount of cement that Lafarge was able to sell, effectively a revenue-sharing agreement to incentivize the terrorist group to act in Lafarge's economic interest. Lafarge was purchased by Switzerland-based Holcim in 2015. The Ravenna plant, which opened on State Route 9W in 1962 and still operates under the name Lafarge, describes Holcim as its, and I quote, "parent company," end quote. The DOJ noted that former Lafarge executives concealed their conduct from Holcim and its auditors before and after Holcim acquired the company. And you can read the full story at Porcupine Soup. Scott Stafford reports for the Berkshire Eagle that beginning November 1st in Massachusetts, it will be a state code violation to put textiles and mattresses in the trash. By adding textiles and mattresses to its disposable ban, the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection is to reduce the amount of waste buried in the still available space in landfills, according to the DEP officials. John Fisher, DEP Deputy Division Director for Solid Waste, said that, and I quote, 95% of textiles recovered can be reused, end quote. The DEP's final 2030 Solid Waste Master Plan establishes goals to reduce disposables statewide by 30%, from 5.7 million tons in 2018 to 4 million tons in 2030. Massachusetts residents and businesses dispose of roughly 230,000 tons of textiles every year, even though 95% of it could be reused or recycled instead of thrown away. About 6% of the waste delivered to combustion facilities for disposal is made up of clothing, curtains, towels, and other fabrics. Massachusetts has 5 landfills left and 3 will be closed by 2030. Textiles that should now be recycled include pants, shirts, skirts, dresses, tops, jackets, pajamas, doggy beds, hats, gloves, shoes, blankets, sheets, pillowcases, and mattresses. A list of places in Massachusetts that will accept textile goods for repurposing or recycling is available at the DEP website. And you can read the full story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXE Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXE sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.